Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 11th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks follow yesterday's powerful rally with more gains.
Chinese and Hong Kong stocks surge after Beijing eases quarantine rules.
FTX.com's assets are frozen by authorities in the Bahamas.
And Elon Musk warns of a possible bankruptcy at Twitter.
New York City Mayor Adams defends his focus on crime, plus the remnants of Hurricane Nicole leave at least two people dead in Florida. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Big third period for the Rangers to win in Detroit. The Islanders were shut out. The Devils won their eighth in a row.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up 23 points, Dow futures up 176, and NASDAQ futures up 101. There is no trading on the bond market today in observance of the Veterans Day holiday. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.8%. Amy.
Karen, U.S. futures are building on yesterday's historic rally, the S&P 500 coming off a 5.5% gain for the best first-day reaction to a CPI report since at least 2003 when records began. Headline inflation came in at 7.7%. That's the lowest since January. Doug Cioka is CEO at Kavar Capital.
If you think what ended the bear market pop 2 weeks ago, it's when the Fed came out at the press conference. So if the Fed now, and the Red Investor being one of the head hawks, is talking a little less strongly, the market might take that as a higher probability that this may not be a bear market bounce, but something start of a next leg of a bull market.
Despite the rally, Kivar Capital's Doug Cioka notes the S&P 500 is still down 17% this year.
Well, Amy, we saw an immediate reaction in Fed funds futures following the report. Rates traders now see just a half-point rate hike next month instead of another three-quarter-point increase. The Fed appears to be backing a downshift in rate hikes, and here's Dallas Fed President Lori Logan and Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker.
While I believe it may be appropriate to slow the pace of rate increases so we can better assess how financial and economic conditions are evolving, I also believe a slower pace should not be taken to represent easier policy.
In the upcoming months, in light of the cumulative tightening we have achieved, I expect we will slow the pace of our rate hikes as we approach a sufficiently restrictive stance. But I want to be clear, a rate hike of 50 basis points would still be significant.
Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker and Dallas Fed Chief Lori Logan spoke at separate events yesterday after the latest inflation reading.
The softer consumer price print, coupled with China's move to ease some COVID rules, fueled a rally in Asia overnight. Stocks in the region jumped by the most since March of 2020. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Avi and Karen. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index climbed more than 4.5%, also on track for its best weekly gain since March 2020. Hong Kong's benchmark surged more than 7% after China reduced its quarantine time for inbound travellers and scrapped COVID flight suspensions, adding to the positive sentiment around top leaders calling for a more targeted approach to controlling the coronavirus. Regionally, chipmakers also saw that drove benchmarks in Taiwan, South Korea and Japan higher. And local currencies got a boost as the dollar suffered its worst day since 2009, the Korean won jumping the most since October 2008. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. In Europe today, we have data on the British economy. GDP in the UK shrank in the third quarter, marking the start of what's expected to be a protracted recession. Gross domestic product fell 0.2%. Consumer spending and business investment both fell. The Bank of England sees a recession persisting into the middle of 2024.
And new developments this morning involving FTX.com and the crypto collapse that it sparked. A securities regulator in the Bahamas has now frozen the assets of FTX and related parties. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The Bahamas Securities Commission said a freeze was the prudent course of action to preserve assets and stabilize the company, and an attorney has been appointed provisional liquidator as the commission aims to place the beleaguered crypto exchange into receivership. The commission also said it's aware of statements suggesting clients' assets were mishandled, mismanaged, and/or transferred to Alameda Research. Alameda is the trading house at the heart of Bankman-Fried's digital asset empire. He is the founder and CEO of FTX.com, based in the Bahamas. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Well, Twitter is in the spotlight once again today. Bloomberg News has learned that Elon Musk is telling employees that bankruptcy is a possibility for the company. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Word came in his first address to Twitter employees since buying the company for $44 billion. The social network has a significant debt burden from the acquisition and has seen a pullback from some advertisers that are concerned about Musk's plans for content moderation. Musk also told staff on the call that the days of free food and other perks are over at Twitter's offices. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. One other note on Twitter. The social media network has reinstated official badges for high-profile accounts to combat a growing problem of users impersonating major brands. The gray badge reappeared below the profiles of businesses and major media outlets this morning.
And now let's get you up to date on politics, Amy, and the race for the Senate. Control still undecided 3 days after the election. All comes down to three states. Counts are ongoing in Arizona and Nevada, and the race in Georgia is going to a runoff in December. President Biden says Democrats face long odds to keep control of the House, but says it's not impossible.
Well, you know, it's still alive. It's still alive. It's like drawing an inside straight, but it's still alive.
Republicans are on pace to win at least 210 seats so far, compared to Democrats' 192. 218 seats are required for a majority.
And it is a blow for the Biden administration. A federal judge in Texas has struck down the president's plan to forgive student loans. The judge called it one of the largest exercises of legislative power without congressional authority in the history of the country. Justice says it will appeal. The plan is already on hold under an emergency stay. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he won't stop talking about crime, pushing back on criticism that he helped fuel the momentum of Republican candidates across the state in the midterm elections. Adams says that the system is broken and no one wanted to hear that. Adams later spoke at a community event on public safety. He talked about removing the homeless off the streets.
When I started in January, I went out and visited those camps and those encampments, and I saw inside there was inhumane. Human waste, stale food, dirty clothing, drug paraphernalia. Some people were bipolar, schizophrenic. That is inhumane to allow people to live that way. And I said, as the mayor of this city, it's not happening under our watch.
Republican candidates seized upon crime as a central issue in the midterms, including Representative Lee Zeldin, who ran closer than expected in his failed bid to unseat New York's Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. President Biden left last night for his foreign country tour. The president will be joining world leaders in Egypt next week for the United Nations Global Climate Summit, also known as COP27. Meanwhile, the bilateral meeting between President Xi Jinping and Joe Biden has been set for the sidelines of the G20 early next week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. will brief Taiwanese officials before and after the president's talk. They sit down Monday. Sullivan says face-to-face.
He will get to sit in the same room with Xi Jinping, be direct and straightforward with him as he always is, and expect the same in return from Xi. And then he can make his judgments on that basis about how to take things forward.
Sullivan says he's confident Taipei will feel secure about its support from the United States. Sullivan repeated the U.S. commitment to Taiwan Relations Act and peace and stability in the Strait. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tropical Depression Nicole is in Georgia this morning after a day of causing havoc in Florida as a hurricane and then a tropical storm. Nicole had cut across central Florida after making landfall near Vero Beach. The storm caused at least two deaths and sent homes along Florida's coast toppling into the ocean. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. The Rangers went to Detroit, having recently lost to the Red Wings, part of a three-game losing streak, and they trailed 2-1. It was 2-2 third period when the Rangers erupted. Six goals in 10.5 minutes. Six different goal scorers. Rangers won 8-2. Islanders shut out by Arizona 2-0. Devils stay hot in overtime with Ottawa.
Folks are out. Now for Hamilton. It's right. They score! Play game winner for the Devils, and the winning streak is at 8.
Devils radio calling the Nico Hischier tip-in for the 4-3 victory. Nike boss Phil Knight says his company likely ending its relationship with Kyrie Irving, now serving a suspension with the Nets for his posting of the anti-Semitic video, his refusal to apologize, although NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who recently met with Irving, told the New York Times he does not believe Irving is anti-Semitic. LeBron James, once an Irving teammate, said he should be allowed to play. LeBron said the requirements the Nets have put in place for reinstatement are excessive. NFL Carolina beat Atlanta 25-15. Panthers are 3-7. Falcons are 4-6. The entire NFC South is under 500, as opposed to the Jets division. The AFC East, where everyone is over 500. Jets are off this week. Giants Sunday host Houston. Giants also in a tough division, battling Dallas and unbeaten Philadelphia. As for Washington, the problems there continue. The D.C. Attorney General filing a civil lawsuit against the team and owner Dan Snyder, as well as Roger Goodell in the NFL, for covering up and deceiving fans of what was going on in a toxic workplace. Recently, indications Snyder may be finally looking to sell the team. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thank you, John. Let's check the futures now. S&P futures up 0.5% at 19.75 points. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures up 84. The DAX in Germany up 0.4%. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. FTSE in London down 0.3%. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model that you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures and European shares are rallying as the euphoria over falling inflation in the world's largest economy extends into a second day, and China relaxes some COVID restrictions. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 25 points. Dow futures up 173, and NASDAQ futures up 106. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%. No trading on the bond market today in observance of the Veterans Day holiday. NYMEX crude oil is up 3.4%, up $2.94 at $89.41 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $15.80 at $17.69.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0274 against the dollar. British pound 1.1765 and the yen 139.18. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down 3.2% at $17,200. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael,
Good morning. A fast-moving missile has struck an apartment building in the south of Ukraine. People in Mykolaiv woke to find the building in ruins. Rescuers raced to the scene, digging through debris for survivors. A federal judge in Texas struck down the Biden administration's sweeping student loan forgiveness plan. U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman, an appointee of President Trump, called it one of the largest exercises of legislative power without congressional authority in the history of the United States. In the NHL, the Devils won in overtime against the Senators 4-3. The Rangers and Bruins also won. The Islanders lost. In the NBA, the Wizards won. Thursday night football, the Panthers beat the Falcons 25-15. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by global market strategist Ben Laidler with eToro. Ben, good morning to you. Thank you for taking the time with us today. We are watching the markets. Is this a bear market rally we're seeing?
Yes, I think it is, but I think it's very well supported. And this is step one, right? That I think we've seen the bottom. Enough has happened. And we're beginning to sort of see the inflation fever breaking. And this is sort of the necessary precondition, I think, to set us up for the next bull market. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I do think we're beginning to build those necessary foundations.
Well, that's good news then, if you're talking about eliminating inflation or at least crawling out of that inflation spike. How much longer could this last as far as the bear market before it actually becomes bull?
So this is our fifth bear market rally of the year. Historically, you've seen up to 10. So we could well have a sort of few more to go. But I do think the key is that with the bottom in here, this is a very investable market. And the next big move, I think, will be up rather than down. And I think, you know, Christmas is definitely coming early. We've seen less bad third quarter earnings. We've got valuations, which are now below average after the sell-off this year. We've got wild cards like China improving. And now we've beginning to see inflation easing and we're beginning to see the top of this sort of Fed interest rate cycle. We're not there yet. There's a long way to go. But again, these are sort of very positive early signs.
When you say there's a long way to go, do you see this as sort of an incremental over long term, a little bit at a time crawling out of this, or do you see it a little bit faster?
I think this is two steps forward, one step back. You know, we need much lower inflation and a start of Fed interest rate cuts, not just a sort of view of the top of the cycle. So I think, you know, that's all a story for later in 2023. But markets sort of, you know, move up on incremental information. We're very depressed. Investor sentiment is very poor. And again, these are sort of the first steps in the right direction, and the market's reacting to that. I think the big relief rally you saw yesterday tells us three very important things. One, that it's all about inflation. Two, how depressed investors are. And three, that you need to be invested to capture these sort of market moves when they do start moving up.
Let's shift just a little bit away from inflation and look at the election and the midterms. I'm wondering if the market's also priced in the outcome of the election. Votes are still being counted. Some races are yet to be decided. Is that going to have more of an impact as we learn more?
Maybe a little bit. So, you know, as we firm up the election results and as we probably get gridlock, I think the short-term impact there is a small positive. It's one less thing for markets to worry about. And if you look at the historic data, markets have sort of rewarded gridlock. But again, I think the bigger story is the fundamentals, what's happening in inflation, what's happening with earnings, and also seasonality. I mean, as I say, Christmas is coming early. November, December, traditionally your best months of the year as investors sort of look ahead to the year ahead. And I think that's particularly important after the sort of unparalleled losses we've had in both equities and bonds this year. I think the outlook for 2023 is absolutely for a less bad year, and I would expect this sort of year-end effect to be quite powerful this year as investors look ahead to that.
As we look ahead to that, as far as cooling off the Fed's aggressive rate hikes, when will they pivot? When can we see that?
So step one is a slowdown, and it could well come at the December meeting. We stepped down from 75 basis point hikes to 50 basis point hikes. So that's step one. Step two is they actually pause. I think that's the first quarter 2023 story. And then step three, which I think is the catalyst for the next bull market, is when they actually start cutting interest rates. We may need to wait longer for that, you know, right till the end of next year. But markets are going to, you know, start discounting that before it actually happens.
Are there any sectors you like?
So I think the story for now is to be invested but reasonably defensive. As I say, this is going to be two steps forward, one step back. So, you know, healthcare, high dividends, you know, more defensive international markets like the UK. And, you know, as we get more validation that inflation's coming down and we get closer to these interest rate cuts, start adding, you know, more risk to the portfolios. That's tech, that's real estate, things like financials.
Are there any X factors we need to be watching for? I got about 30 seconds here in the next few weeks.
it's going to remain a volatile ride. Inflation, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. That inflection point is sort of coming, but it's, again, it's going to be a rocky road. And the reminder yesterday, it's all about inflation. So just keep watching that. That's driving the Fed. That's driving recession and earnings risk.
And we're going to keep watching it with you. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this Friday morning. Global market strategist Ben Laidler with eToro, watching the markets with us. Looking at the futures now, S&P futures up 21, Dow futures up 160 points, NASDAQ futures up 85 points, DAX in Germany up 0.4%, CAC in Paris up 0.5%, FTSE in London down 0.4%. Much more to come on this Friday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, becoming rainy and breezy today. We're going up to 70 degrees, down to 65. The rain and wind stay with us tonight and tomorrow. The rain ends in the morning with a sunny afternoon, going up to 70.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures building on yesterday's gains, which saw the S&P 500 surge more than 5%. Slowing inflation was the catalyst, but Investnet co-chief investment officer Dana Daria cautions there's still a bumpy road ahead.
The Fed is a lot more concerned about a stop and go policy error than they are about pushing a little too hard still. All else equal, I think you still should be prepping for potentially tough conditions.
Investnet's Dana Daria says the likelihood of recession next year is still high.
It is not clear if October's CPI print will slow the Fed's pace of tightening. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly addressed that issue yesterday.
Stepping down is an appropriate thing to think about. I support a more gradual approach of getting to it so we can be discovering the right rate as we go.
San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, one of three officials signaling a downshift in rate hikes is possible.
Well, new crypto developments this morning focused on FTX.com. Amy, a securities regulator in the Bahamas, has now frozen the company's assets. The crypto exchange Binance had tried to acquire FTX, but the deal fell through. Now, Binance CEO CZ Zhao is addressing the matter.
From a technology or product perspective, they don't have anything that we don't have. So our original intention was let's save the users. But then the news of misappropriating user funds and especially U.S. regulatory agencies' investigations, we're like, okay, we can't touch that anymore.
Binance CEO CZ Zhao spoke at the Indonesia FinTech Summit today.
And Karen, there's another possible buyer for FTX. Tron founder Justin Sun tells us he's looking at providing the crypto exchange with billions of dollars.
We need to do a full due diligence. At the same time, to evaluate the situation, to have a full picture of like what's going on, how serious is the liquidity crunch.
Tron founder Justin Sun tells us he's still evaluating whether to pursue a deal for FTX.
Well, Twitter's in the spotlight again, Amy. Bloomberg News has learned Elon Musk told employees that bankruptcy is a possibility for the company. The social media platform this morning has also reinstated official badges for high-profile accounts to combat users impersonating major brands.
And a note from overseas, the British economy shrank in the third quarter, marking the start of what's expected to be a protracted recession. GDP fell 0.2% in the period.
And again, futures are moving higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he won't stop talking about crime, pushing back on criticism that he helped fuel the momentum of Republican candidates across the state in the midterm elections. Adams says the system is broken and will continue to talk about that until we get it right. Adams later spoke at a community gathering on public safety.
The person that sat down to get their portrait done and had a scar on their face, they told the artist that, "I know you noticed my scar, but remember I have a face." And I'm saying that to New York City. We have scars, but we have a face. Every day, on average, we have 6 felonies on our subway system a day. But we also have a face. 3.5 million people use that subway every day, and they get to and from their place of employment without any incident at all.
Republican candidates in the U.S. seized upon crime as a central issue in Tuesday's election. At least 2 people are dead in the wake of Hurricane Nicole in Florida. Now a tropical depression, the storm weakened overnight as it barreled into Georgia. President Biden heads overseas through the middle of next week to speak with foreign leaders about climate change, the war in Ukraine, and America's competition with China. The president's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, says his boss has been boosted by the better-than-expected performance of his party in the midterm elections.
He feels very good about where things stand, and he feels like he is going out on this trip with the wind very much at his back. And that gives him an excellent opportunity both to deal with competitors from a strong position and to rally allies.
In Indonesia on Monday, President Biden sits with his Chinese counterpart on the sidelines of the G20 summit. Today, New York City will hold its Veterans Day parade. Nearly 200,000 participants will be marching up Manhattan's Fifth Avenue. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, busy night in local hockey. Rangers ended a 3-game slide. They won at Detroit 8-2. They scored 6 goals in a 10.5-minute span of the third period. Islanders and Arizona scoreless into the third period. The Coyotes won 2-0. Devils hosted Ottawa, and like the game the other night, Nico Hischier scored the game winner in overtime. Devils won 4-3. They've won 8 in a row, 11 of 12, and in all 11, they have not allowed more than 3 goals. And the Devils have given Marty Brodeur a new job. Their longtime Hall of Fame goalie was working as a team advisor more on the business side. Now he becomes VP of Hockey Operations. GM Tom Fitzgerald will report to Brodeur. Knicks look to get back to 500 tonight. They host Detroit. NFL Week 10 began with Carolina's 25-15 win over Atlanta. Sunday morning, it's Seattle and Tampa Bay in the first ever game in Germany. Giants Sunday host Houston, a team with only 1 victory. Giants before the bye had that loss in Seattle. Their coach is Brian Daboll.
Important game, you know, at home. Going to have to play well. Came off a bye. Feel like we're rested. The guys have had a lot of good energy here these last couple days, and we need to go out there and have a good week, and like we do every week.
Former Giants linebacker Blake Martinez was playing for the Raiders. He had 11 tackles just this past Sunday, and Martinez suddenly yesterday announced his retirement at age 28, said he wants to focus on his family and future passions. Mets picked up the $14 million option on Carlos Carrasco, just had a 15-win season. Justin Verlander declined a $25 million option in Houston, becomes a free agent. The Dodgers and their longtime ace Clayton Kershaw said to be close to a new one-year deal. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. With that, here is Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Jersey City-based BlockFi, now embroiled in the crypto crisis. It's pausing client withdrawals. The digital asset lender also asking customers to refrain from depositing funds into BlockFi wallets because of all the problems related to the collapse of supporter Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX crypto empire. Connecticut expects to collect $571 million more general fund revenue this fiscal year. The legislature's Office of Fiscal Analysis says sales and investment tax collections have been improving. Alloy Development could power New York City's first all-electric tower. Alloy plans to power the tower with renewable energy projects. This would be a 44-story tower on Alloy Block on Flatbush Avenue in downtown Brooklyn. And attention, vegans. Time for the New Jersey Vegan Food Fest. It's a 2-day celebration kicking off at the Meadowlands Exposition Center tomorrow, featuring local vegan food and also plant-based fashion. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about cracks beginning to form in the willingness of luxury consumers to keep paying ever-rising prices.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that United Airlines says it will give pilots a 5% pay hike next month instead of waiting until May as a show of good faith after pilots rejected a proposed contract.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the new figures showing the UK economy contracted in the third quarter, but not by as much as had been expected.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting on Little Caesars honoring veterans today and also boosting foot traffic.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Cryptocurrencies were supposed to usher in a new and better era of finance, but instead of revolutionizing it, crypto is largely repeating its mistakes. If further evidence was required, the travails of cryptocurrency exchange FTX.com this week have demonstrated just how far from ideal crypto remains. Over the decades, various mechanisms have emerged to make traditional financial institutions more resilient, including deposit insurance, leverage limits, and liquidity requirements. If crypto intermediaries want to act as reliable conduits for investment, they'll have to submit to much of the same. Until then, beware. They're not worthy of your trust. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Futures are higher. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning, along with European shares, as the euphoria over falling inflation in the world's largest economy extends into a second day and China relaxes some COVID restrictions. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 129, NASDAQ futures up 65. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. No trading on the U.S. bond market today. That's due to the Veterans Day holiday. NYMEX crude oil up 3.25%, up $2.81 at $89.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.75%, or $13.20 at $17.66.10 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0272 against the dollar. British pound 1.1737. The yen 139.33. Bitcoin down 2.9% at $17,290. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. In Arizona, the races for U.S. Senate and governor are still too early to call. Democratic Senator Mark Kelly leads Republican Blake Masters by 5.6 percentage points, while Democrat Katie Hobbs was 1.4 points ahead of Republican Kari Lake in the governor's race. Vice President Kamala Harris will be filling in for many of President Joe Biden's traditional duties on this Veterans Day. Biden will be in Egypt at the UN Climate Conference, meeting with Southeast Asian leaders in Cambodia, and then to a G20 summit in Indonesia. Today, Harris will deliver remarks at Arlington Cemetery and lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. In the NHL, the Devils won in overtime against the Senators 4-3. The Rangers and Bruins also won. The Islanders lost. In the NBA, the Wizards won. Thursday Night Football, the Panthers beat the Falcons 25-15. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Keeping an eye on markets and the response to yesterday's CPI data, futures building on yesterday's historic rally, but is that rally for real? Eric Friedman is Chief Investment Officer at U.S. Bank Asset Management Group and joins us now. So, Eric, is yesterday's rally for real? Do you think this might be a bear market rally?
Amy, we put this more in the bear market rally camp than a more sustainable rally. The reasons for that is we do think that ultimately this boils down to economic performance next year, and we also think that there's going to be risk to earnings revisions coming down for 2023. We do think that there is a bias for companies to be a little skittish on guidance right now. That's why we don't think that the 2023 numbers have come in as much as they need to. So this is something that probably has some legs in the near term. So we think that there's probably some resistance around 4,100, 4,200 for the S&P, but we do think ultimately the economy slowing down, earnings coming down will be a bigger story as we turn the page into next year.
So you think we might retest the lows?
I think that the lows being retested may be a little bit premature. We do think that, you know, we were just at 3,600 not too long ago, but you know, our bias is that markets are probably lower, not higher. I do think that the catalyst to get a retest of the lows would be, number one, that earnings revisions I just mentioned. That would be the first variable. The other would be more persistent inflation. So the message from literally 8 days ago from Chair Powell was just, again, take us seriously. We are in a tightening mode. And so if we do see that persistence of inflation, which we think is probably going to happen, that you could see a retest. We don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's probably more of an early Q1 story as opposed to something imminent in the next couple of weeks.
The market's been betting that the CPI data is going to help cool the Fed's aggressive rate hikes. Is the market getting it right?
We think the market is, in the very near term, was a bit overly bearish. So anything that was even on the whispered number heading into the CPI print yesterday perceived to be better than expected. So I do think that the persistence of inflation is really the thing the market has to focus on next. Yes, we may be in this peaking formation right now, but the durability of inflation we think will be a bigger story. That's what we think is going to keep the Fed more focused on rates higher for longer, as opposed to trying to guess when exactly CPI or PPI or other measures may actually top out. So we do think that some incremental improvement is a good thing, but we need to, you know, several more prints like we saw yesterday before saying that, you know, what inflation is actually tamed. The other thing I'd point out is that in terms of the you know, absolute level of where the Fed may cap interest rates, in other words, the goal they have for their terminal rate, that's still very much in question. Again, the volatility of the last couple of days, we saw that terminal rate go from 5.2% down to 4.8% yesterday in a very short period of time. So I think the market's still trying to figure out, is it more important that we focus on peak inflation or the durability of inflation? We think ultimately durability is more important than peak. That's why we think the Fed will be a little more stringent on interest rates than the market currently thinks.
And I just very quickly got about a half a minute here. Let's talk about the midterms, the election. Those votes are still being counted. Races yet to be decided. Has the market priced in the outcome of the election? Is that a factor?
It's not a huge factor, Amy. The biggest thing is that the debt ceiling is a big deal. That's going to be more of a political football for next year. But we don't think that the tax policy is going to really move. So, you know, probably debt ceiling, biggest catalyst, but, you know, most stuff is priced in. Most of the sector stuff is relevant, but the headline basis, we think that it's larger than priced in, yes.
All right, Eric Friedman, Chief Investment Officer at U.S. Bank Asset Management Group. Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is currently 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Meta Platforms escaped a trademark infringement lawsuit. A federal judge in San Francisco ruled that Meta's infinity loop is not similar in shape or color to a logo used by a Swiss blockchain group. A lobster industry group from Maine asked the D.C. Circuit to reverse a lower court ruling that tightened fishing restrictions in order to protect whales. Two of three plaintiffs in a wage suit against Ulta Beauty will have to submit their claims to arbitration.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Now another legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court has signaled it may open a new avenue for companies and people to fight off complaints by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Federal Trade Commission. The justices are considering whether those facing agency claims can go straight to federal court with constitutional challenges, including attacks on the use of in-house judges to handle cases. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Jonathan Macy, a professor at Yale Law School.
In 2010, a Supreme Court ruling invalidated similar protections for members of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. So why wouldn't this just fall along that line?
That's a great question. I think it probably will, actually. But there's, you know, certain small differences in the underlying legislation. And so we have separate proceedings for the SEC and the FTC. I think it's likely to go the same way. You know, the FTC and the SEC can litigate and often do litigate in court. And one of the things that bothers a lot of people about the use of these administrative courts is the fear that when the FTC or the SEC believe they have weaker cases, they take them to the administrative courts where they have an easier path to victory. You know, I think that justices seem to be fairly skeptical of, you know, the propriety or the legitimacy of these administrative hearings.
Has the Supreme Court been sort of chipping away at the federal administrative state with a line of decisions?
Definitely. Yeah, this is another and an important facet of a general feeling, I think, on the part of the conservative justices on the court that the administrative state has sort of run amok. Since the 1930s, there's been a general, you know, a tremendous rise in the breadth and power of the administrative state and, you know, the lawmaking power of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, and conservatives are concerned about that. Has it gotten worse? I think it's just sort of a sense that there's just been a relentless expansion of the power of the administrative state. I think that's the concern.
Is there a middle ground? Because Justice Kavanaugh indicated that he read the court's precedents as offering a narrow way to resolve the cases. Is that possible?
It might be. I mean, you know, the bottom line, though, is that there's either going to be some, you know, immediate appeal by litigants from these administrative courts, or there isn't. So there's limited room, I think, for a middle ground, just in terms of trying to figure out a narrow set of cases in which there'd be a right to an immediate appeal before the litigation is concluded. And I think that's what Kavanaugh was searching for.
And that's Jonathan Macy, a professor at Yale Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures up 17 points this morning. Dow futures up 137 and NASDAQ futures up 73. And again, no trading on the U.S. bond market today in observance of the Veterans Day holiday. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check of the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.